I want to bring on my friend here who's going to pick up the hosting duties for a bit. Let me bring on, this is Jamie Singleton. Hey, Jamie, good to see you.
Hey, Jeff, how's it going?
Oh, my gosh. F-sharp is one of these topics that I've always wanted to dip my toes in, try out a little bit, and I'm getting excited with a little bit of what I'm seeing here between Scott and Isaac, a little bit with Don this morning. I'm seeing some stuff that I want to learn more about, and you have a session coming up tomorrow, don't you?
I do, yes. F-sharp is a hot topic this month. We've had tons of content coming out for it. And for those who are also looking to interested to get started with F-sharp, really, really from the basics, we do have an event tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Pacific, called letslearn.net F-sharp. And you can register right there. It's a completely free event, and we'll walk you through the brand new Learn modules that were just released and published. So we have tons of new content for you all.
Awesome. Well, I'm going to step away and let you take over hosting duties for the next little bit, and we'll catch you later. Thanks so much, Jamie.
Amazing. Thank you, Jeff. All right. Hello, everybody. I am so honored and excited to be here with you all. Thank you for joining us. Let's get started. So that was amazing, Isaac. Thank you so much. It's really good to see how F-sharp actually does work building modern web applications. It's not just for data. But speaking of data, I am joined here with Kevin Schneider. Let me see if I can bring him up. There we go.
Hi there. Kevin.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm very well.
Very excited today.
Me as well. So as I mentioned, you're here to talk to us about productive data science in biology with F-sharp. So what's that about?
Well, I'm kind of trying to make like a roundhouse kick and show multiple topics where we are using F-sharp to be productive in science, not just only data science, but also some HPC stuff. So maybe some people are interested in that, I hope so at least.
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely intrigued. So let's get started. Let's go ahead and bring up your
All right.
screen here.
Give me a second. So I'll share my screen. Here we go, the second one.
Yes.
All right. Are we live?
All right, perfect. We are live and ready to go. I'll let you take it away.
All right, thanks for having me. So I'm Kevin from Germany, and as already said, excited to share with you some insights on how we are using F-sharp, being productive in all kinds of research, basically. So I am a PhD student at the Computational Systems Biology department in the Technical University of Kaiserslautern. And in biology, you have these kind of two facets of researchers, where you have this wet lab scientists that are usually working in laboratories in the lab coats, performing all the complicated experiments that we in the dry lab, working behind the security of our computer screens, can then analyze. So we really appreciate the data there, but we like to stay a little bit more safe there. So what kind of data are we working with here? So we are really fascinated by plant organisms because they are sessile, so they can't move away. So they are exposed to their environment all the time, and they can't change what will happen to them. So especially in the context of climate change, it is really important to understand how plants can cope with change in environmental conditions that can happen on the timescale of days or even hours. So in a more abstract sense, what we are looking at are plants that have to react to environmental conditions and some kind of change their molecular composition to that. Because in this time scale of like days, you can't just grow new leaves that will cope better with cold conditions. So the plant has to change that on a molecular level. And how can we measure that? So this is where our friends, the wet lab scientists, come in again. So the usual experiment that we'll perform here is that we are taking plants from their like normal, let's put it like that, conditions, sample a few times from them, and then they apply the condition of interest, for example, increased light intensities. And then we create a time series of data sampled from this here. And as you might imagine, the data or the samples taken here are not as simple as these colored dots here, but depending on the type of molecule that we are measuring here, and these days we are actually trying to measure all molecules in there, you can get terabytes of data just from one of these samples. So you have giant amounts of data in this kind of time series experiment. And what we are doing is we are developing methods to extract knowledge from these kinds of data sets. Why am I here telling you about our research here then? Because we are doing all of this with F-sharp. So you can categorize our research basically in these five pillars here. So we are teaching because we are part of a university. We are a research group. So one of our responsibilities is teaching science. And these four other pillars here are kind of more interconnected with each other. So as I said, we are developing these methods for analyzing these kinds of data sets. Then for sure, we are performing data analysis with these methods, if they are mature, for example. And more often than not, these data analysis pipelines that we are building here and then up as, for example, as a web service where users have to put in their data and they get out the results that our pipeline produces, or tooling for open science to make this available for everyone, especially in a high performance computing context. So you can imagine that you need a large amount of computation resources for handling terabytes of data in such a data analysis pipeline. Okay, so let me first focus on teaching because this is a little bit more decoupled from the rest, as I just said. We are basically teaching F-sharp as the first programming language for many of our students for scientific programming. We are also offering advanced data analysis and project work. And what really helps us here is the robust tooling that is there in the F-sharp ecosystem. So what we really love is the FSDocs tool. This is initially thought of as a tool for creating documentation for F-sharp libraries, but you can also create, beside the HTML documents that contain this documentation, you can also create .NET interactive notebooks with that tool. And this is where it gets really interesting for our teaching purposes. So let me show you what I mean with that. I'll switch to my browser here. So this is an example. It doesn't matter in detail what stands here, but this is an example of the output that FSDocs can provide us with. So you have contextual text, code blocks here. You have also interactive visualizations that you can put in here. And the really awesome thing is here, besides, as I said, this HTML file here, you can also get notebooks. I already downloaded that one here. Kind of looks exactly the same. But you can change the code that you have inside of here. So for example, if you don't like the style of the visualization here, because I would like to have a dark mode here, I can just go inside there. I can't do that on the HTML page and use a template. This is plotly.net, by the way. I will shortly go into more detail about this library. So I will use the with template function. And I will use the dark mirrored one, which should fit, better inside here. So these notebooks really help to give a more hands-on approach and for teaching programming. And as you can see, you can directly change the output that is produced by these code blocks. So let me show you a more simple example of what you're doing with FSDocs. So in FSDocs, you use these so-called literate F-sharp scripts. So I have an F-sharp script open here, and you can open markdown blocks with these parentheses and asterisks here. And you can also will also get a markdown syntax highlighting inside here. So this is my markdown block. I just have this header here and some text. And then I can go on and write F-sharp code, and I can also include the output of this F-sharp code here. And if I then run my fsdocs tool here with the evaluate flag, because I actually want to evaluate this F-sharp code here, I will get in a second a local hot reloadable version of that website that is produced here. So as you saw here, this is the output of the markdown block. This is the F-sharp script, and this is the evaluation here. And I can simply go here and change the value, and then I will have a hot reload here and see what I have changed. So this is basically how you can then scale up, let's put it like that, and build these kinds of more complex teaching modules. All right. Let's go back to the presentation here. And I will now focus more on the data science part of our work. So for both of these pillars here, method development and data analysis, what is really the outstanding property of F-sharp is that it is an amazing prototyping language. You can get going really fast with F-sharp and get into something that I would call here iterative scripting cycle, where you have this scripting environment. You can directly execute code in the inside there and get productive really fast. And what is also helping us here on this side of this visualization here is the FSLab toolbox. And Don in the keynote already spoiled a little bit. I will focus on FSLab a lot right now. So what is FSLab? FSLab is thought of as this center of gravity for data science packages in F-sharp. So if you are coming from a R background, think tidyverse, but in F-sharp with F-sharp projects for F-sharp. And the basic idea is that you can perform all of these data science tasks in the cycle here with F-sharp projects. So you can import data. Usually you then read it with some kind of data frame library, have structured data, do some transformations on this structured data, visualize the results. Maybe now you want to model this data to make some forecasts, for example, do some ML here, import some new test data, transform it with the model again, visualize the forecast, and so on. You can go forever inside here, right? So my point here is, we are already there. You can perform all of these tasks with F-sharp libraries. You can stay inside of F-sharp during this whole cycle. So for data import, we recommend the F-sharp data library, which has accessos for multiple data sources. What I personally using it most for is access of HTTP resources, so data downloading from the internet inside a script. For the data frame part, we have the DDL library, which actually does this transformation, but keeps the original data immutable. So you're actually creating a new data frame with your transformation steps. And I think this is a really unique approach to the data frame concept and fits perfectly in this environment of F-sharp, where you have this robustness coming from the type system. For visualization purposes, we recommend using plotly.net for all kinds of 2 and 3D visualizations. I'm actually the core maintainer of that library. People coming from a Python or R background most likely know the Plotly library. It is an amazing initially JavaScript library for visualizing data. And it has many language wrappers around them. Plotly.net is the one that I myself, besides others, are maintaining for the .NET ecosystem. For graph visualization, for network visualization, you can use SciJS.net, for example. On the model side, we have some more libraries directly recommended in F-sharp. From our side is the F-sharp stats library, which is a multi-purpose project for things like statistical testing, signal detection, and also light ML tasks, such as, for example, clustering. for linear programming and optimization purposes of those systems, you can use the FLIPS library. I think there's a talk later today from Matthew, the mathematical planning talk, I think, or suspect he will use this library there because it's from him. And on this side here, there are also established libraries that are on the .NET platform written in C# that you can use from F# as well. So for example, ML.NET can't talk about data science in .NET without mentioning ML.NET, right? You can use that from F# very well, as well as the SciSharp stack, which is an effort to port the SciPy stack to .NET, but these are written in C#. We are focusing more on the F# libraries here. You can also head over to fslab.org to get more information about FSLab. Let me show you the website real quick. What I think is cool about this here is here's the packages page. And we are also providing you, for example, with scripts to get you started really fast with those libraries. And we are also providing basic tutorials for doing data science with F#, also tutorials for getting started with F#, no matter if you want to perform data science afterwards or not, and also some more advanced blog post style articles here. And this is, you might also built with FSDocs, so you can download these tutorials as interactive notebooks without problem. Okay, so this is FSLab, and we are using it heavily in this iterative scripting cycle environment. Let me show you a quick example of data analysis where I read such a data set that I introduced to you in the beginning, a time series of a plant in changing conditions, molecules measured from that, not terabytes, but some smaller data set. And then perform a quick analysis with it and then visualize the result. So this again here is my Visual Studio Code window. Usually I start with referencing the libraries that I will be using. I will use F# data to read data, Beetle, the data frame library to read this data as a frame. F# starts to perform my analysis in plotly.net for visualization purposes. So I'm binding first my data source here. This is an online data source. This down here is the interactive console where I'm sending code down there for those of you who have never seen this. The first thing I'm doing now is I will read my data frame from that data source after I have gotten the data source with performing a HTTP request here. And then because I know this data set, I know that this is the indexing row column, so I will already index my data frame here. You can print also this data frame to get insights how the data looks like, but at the zoom level, it will look really bad. Let me check if I can. Wait a second. Yeah, that looks better. So this, I think this was the level I was in before. So here I have my data frame printed, column keys and row keys, and the structured data inside of this data frame. It has, by the way, 18,000 rows. This is corresponding to all of the molecules measured in this experiment over 11 time points. So we are handling time series data here. So what I will do then next is from the F# stats library, I will use a method called surprise analysis. You can also see that down here, which gives me the main components of my system of interest here, so my plant system, and the dynamics of how they evolve over time. And for that, I will initialize a linear algebra service here because I will use highly optimized linear algebra native libraries for that. And it's just like that, extract the data out of the data frame to a ject array and transform that ject array to a matrix here. And then from that, compute my surprise analysis. Should go really fast here. What is then left of this record type? I am accessing this field here. This is where my information is stored in. I again get out of this matrix from F-sharp stats, and then I will map over each of those components. Those will be 11 for each time point one, and create a chart with plotly.net. Here, just a simple line chart where my x, y values will be the values inside here, indexed by just by their position in the array, so 0 until 10. And I will name them according to their index, basically, here. And then I combine these 11 charts and render it in the browser here. So what I can tell you from experience here is that this method, it's a little bit like PCA. The first component here is the one that captures most of the noise, so we will ignore that one. And I can also tell you from experience that the first three components are the most interesting. So what you can see here is the most prominent behavior of the molecules in our data set over time here. And let me just make the chart a little bit nicer real quick. So I will use a template here as well. So I used before. Here I will use light mirrored because my browser has a light theme, and I will also give this one a title. Oops, swift title it is. And I will call that one main components dynamics. Let's put it like that. Here we are, looks quite nice, but I would still like to filter out these components. So I will, in at this stage here, skip the first one. Oops. And only take the first three of the remaining ones. So, and this is what I mean with iterative scripting cycle here, right? I visualize my result, I go back and forth until I'm happy with what I am showing here. And this looks kind of nice now. So yeah, this is how we have performed this iterative scripting with FSLab. So let's step away from this side of the chart here and see what we are doing then if we build these data analysis pipelines. So what we are doing is, first, we are creating web services for everyone to use these data analysis pipelines. But these are not very interesting because this is just a text box where people can give the input, then press on run, and there's the output again. For that, we are using the SafeStack and Fabry Mature Ecosystem. You heard lots about of this in the previous talk. It's just awesome. I actually learned web development, I think, 3 or 4 years ago in this stack. I have never written JavaScript before, basically. Yeah, but these web services are really simple we are using here. But what we are also doing with Fable and SafeStack is Office add-ins. Let me show you that real quick and why we are doing that. So if wet lab scientists, as I just showed you, perform a experiment in the lab, they have to keep track of as many experimental parameters as possible, because they can have an influence on the result that we get out of the end. So we have to keep track, how much light was this plant exposed to? What was the temperature at any given time of the experiment? What was the length of the day cycle, the night cycle, and so on? And in the past, wet lab scientists usually track these kinds of metadata in handwritten notebooks. And this is part of a large grant where we are part of in Germany currently. What we want to change, we want to enable all scientists to create digital structured metadata. And therefore, we created a, or one of the tools we created for that is a, let me switch to Visual Studio Code real quick here again, is a Excel plugin, where we are using SafeStack to do this. Let me first sideload the app real quick. So here we go. This is the web service that is created by our SafeStack application, and we are using the Office.js API to handle the Excel side of things. So for example, to get started with annotating my experiment, I will create an annotation table here. And then for my purposes, because I just talked to you about plant growth, I will use the template that is provided here, select that one and insert it here. So, and this creates a huge table that I can now fill with metadata about my sample. And the important thing here is, let me zoom in a little bit maybe here. The important thing here is what we can fill this here is not just free text, but what we are using for here is ontologies, so controlled vocabulary. So every time I am inserting leaf here, for example, it will be the same term, leaf. Doesn't matter, doesn't matter what's going on here. Here we go. Doesn't matter if I write it with a large L or something like that, it will always be the same term. And what you can see here, we are automatically adding machine-readable information to these columns here. And this is very important because we later want to be able to perform meta-analysis based on these structured metadata. Okay, so this is the kind of web service tooling that we are also doing or creating for the science community. Let me also talk about, I think we have a few minutes left here, about open science tooling in the context of making really complex data analysis pipelines available for everyone. Because, right, you can create command line tools, Docker containers to execute them everywhere. But this might still not be enough for everyone to be able to use them. So an example that I will take here is the case of proteomics, where we want to measure all proteins in a plant, for example. So this is the sampling process I just showed you. But the thing with the sample inside here, even if you take just a single leaf, you have millions of cells in there. And the cells inside there look like this. Many different kinds of, so the insides of the cells look like this. So you have millions of proteins and other kinds of molecules in there, a million times for each cell. And each of these molecules creates data in your machine, which you then have to computationally map to a spectrum, which you then have to use, for example, machine learning approaches to infer which kind of protein you're actually measuring. And this has to perform millions of times with a data input of terabytes. So a really, really computationally taxing task. So, and this is only one of the parts of what you have to do in proteomics to actually get these time series data out of that I just showed you. And for all of these tasks, our work group develops the Proteomicon, which is a full proteomics pipeline written in F#. And we are packaging all those as .NET CLI tools. So you can install those with .NET tool install, for example. But this is not where we stopped. As I said, this is a very computational complex pipeline. It has many different tools and parameters. I think it's 20 or 30 tools. And we want, our task is to make this available for everyone. So we need a platform that is able to perform high performance computing across multiple clusters and nodes, and also has a user-friendly graphical user interface to start these kind of workflows. And this is how .NET landed on the Galaxy project, basically. So the Galaxy project is a open web-based platform where you can perform all kinds of data-intensive computational research and also share the results and workflows you are creating there. And what we did to bring .NET there is first create a Conda package that contains the .NET SDK. So you can now, the Conda package manager is a language agnostic package manager, which is used by Galaxy. So you can now package your .NET tools as Conda tools. And therefore, we are now having all of these .NET CLI tools on the Galaxy platform. Let me show you real quick how a workflow there looks like, just a really quick glance at it. So what I'm seeing here is a workflow graph of a single step in the proteomics pipeline. And I can create this workflow now, not with inside my CLI environment, but with a graphical user interface. And I can also go back to my workflow or go right here and just start it. And that's it. I can edit the parameters and so on. Galaxy takes care of the rest, schedules the jobs for all of these nodes, and we're done. So yeah, you can do all of this with your .NET tools. Submit some pull requests if you like. Okay, so with that, I'm finished. This is my work group. You may already know David and Benedict from the ML .NET standup. I think it was about F-sharp, and David is the guy that is mostly concerned with creating all of these complex tools in the proteomics pipeline. If you are interested in doing data science in F-sharp, why not taking a look at fslab.org? Maybe you might like it and never look back, just as us. We actually published, I think, more than 50 peer-reviewed scientific articles just using F-sharp, so you can have a little bit scientific success with that as well. So yeah, with that, thanks for joining. Here's how to find us, find me. Happy to answer questions.
Amazing. Kevin, thank you so much. That was so informative. I'm very excited. I'm going to go check out fslab.org myself. And it's amazing to know that you used what Isaac spoke about earlier, the safe state for your web applications as well. So
yeah, amazing sure. How it's all coming amazing full framework. Circle. It's really good.
Amazing. Alrighty. Well, so we ran a little close to time, so we don't have time for questions, but there's some really great questions on Twitter. Kevin, if you don't mind heading on over there and answering those directly.
See if I can answer something. Thanks for having me.
Amazing. Thank you, Kevin. That was excellent.